Welcome to the Faith Dialogue Podcast with your host, Pastor Ken Baer. Are you ready to swim in the deep end of the Bible pool or climb to the top of Faith Mountain? If so, open the eyes that see, those ears that hear, and a heart that is receptive. Get your cup of coffee and your Bible as we begin.
Now, I'm going to be preaching this day. I laughed and I told my friends, I said, you see me all gussied up here. You know, we live in Florida. Wearing socks in Florida is formal wear, you know. But when I preach, I said, shades of the old days. I go to my closet, pull out my blazer, and I have a collection of ties that are left over from these many years. I now have, I think, two that I have not worn here. That's three. Two that I have not worn here. So when I preach, I have two more ties that I can dig up and get to wear in remembrance of the days when we first started out in ministry, these many years ago, where we all looked like insurance salesmen. Today we look like we just got off the beach, but that's just the way it is. Now, we're going to be working with this passage today from the book of Galatians. Ken is going to be preaching over the next few weeks on the book of Galatians. And my comments today really are comments that will go with us as we go through this book. Sort of an introductory comment, because what Paul is establishing in these early verses of the book that he wrote, or the letter that he wrote to the church in Galatia, churches of Galatia, is the importance of the gospel, the importance of each and every one of you having that deep within your hearts and not letting anyone take that from you. The book of Galatians carries that theme forward in Paul's writing. But I want to show you something that I think will illustrate what Paul is talking about. Now, I have to put the microphone here. If you would, that'd be helpful. Okay, Thelma will put on her resume, mic stand. How many of you remember the days of black and white television only? The rabbit ears, they talk about this thing of aluminum that you put between the rabbit ears and you twist it to get the better signal. And then you had this little dial on the front of the TV that you fine-tuned it, and hopefully they wouldn't start bouncing up and down. I'm first-year TV guy. We have a photograph down home, me standing in front of a TV about this big, watching Felix the Cat on a round screen. Okay, that's how old I am, and that's how long TV's been in part of my world. I want to ask you, do you remember TV Guide? You know, these magazines that came out once a week? You had a subscription to TV Guide? These are TV guides that my friend Ruth Hayes collected and as a part of significant remembrances and cultural events. This is from 1964, and it focused on the network's treatment of November 1963. What would that have been the focus? President Kennedy's assassination. Absolutely. They focused on that. And then they have all the listings of the different television programs that were first run programs in those days. I just saw an opening, Wagon Train was shown at night. Now it comes on at 2:00 in the afternoon. So that's just the way it is. Now here's another TV guide. Okay, they talk about all these historical events. 1969, what are you seeing? On the moon. Don't you remember in years ago, we would go out into the yard, we'd look up at the moon and say, and there it is. Who knew when we were coming along that we would see actually people walking on the surface of the moon? Who knew that? And who knew that we could go to the Kennedy Center and see the actual surface of the moon on display? Who knew? Well, networks focused on that as well as they did any other programming. Here's McHale's Navy. Okay, that's one that's shown. Long ago and far away, these are the things that people watched on TV and kept up with This one, what do you think this one is? 1776? What are they celebrating in the TV networks? The bicentennial, 200 years of history of the United States. And so they would have these various programs that touted all the celebrations that were taking place in those years. Long ago, far away, and I'm so glad that Ruth saved them, because I would thumb through them occasionally and see what was being done on TV, because I'm a bit of a history nut. And so you look at that and you put it down, because it really doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing right now. It's long ago, far away, and all the TVs were black and white anyway. So that's, and also, they none of them were as big as a wall like we have now. But I have this. This is another. This is a contemporary TV guide.
And it ended last week or tonight.
Okay. Okay. This is the weekly TV listings that you'll be able to get and keep up with the shows that are going to be shown now.
That last show is tomorrow night.
The last show of...
This is Us.
This is Up.
It's been on for 6 years.
Okay. This is Us. Finishes. Oh, no. This is Us. I say that was them, and I didn't know anything about them.
It's been a wonderful show.
Okay, see there, right now, happening right now. That's the value of this contrasted to the old TV guides, all of these old things here. This was, this is. Now, as we, thank you, Thelma. Like I say, we put it on a resume. Great cook, and she's also a mic stand.
That's a treasure. Those are treasures.
Aren't they fun to look at? When we look at this, the churches in Galatia were being challenged by the people who had come up from Jerusalem for them to take, again, Jewish traditions and patterns and push aside to a lesser importance all that God had done in Jesus Christ. All that he had done in Jesus Christ had to be supplemented, augmented, and made minimal by the keeping of Jewish traditions. Now, in my illustration, the Jewish traditions would be those TV guides. You open those historic documents, you're not going to find anything about what's happening on TV today. But if you open that big one, This Is Us is on tonight, hot and bothered. Okay, what Paul was saying is, you cannot go back to the old ways. You cannot keep Christ and add to it the traditions of the Jewish faith. You simply can't. Temple worship, keeping of the feasts, and all the other things that were a part of that. It may be a part of your religious tradition if you're a Messianic Jew, that you have Shabbat services. It may be that you have other remembrances of your Jewish tradition. But you're very careful as a Messianic Jew to say, I do this to lift up Christ. When I have Passover, I tell you what the Passover is telling us about the promises of God in Jesus. But I remember these elements that are a part of this special meal. But I never lose sight, so my Messianic friends tell me, of what God has done in Jesus. So when we're looking at the passage that's before us, what we're really seeing is Paul's challenge for the Jews in Galatia to understand what the gospel truly is. You can't add anything to what God has done in Jesus Christ. His life, his death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection 3 days later, God's witness to the introduction of a new order of reality, a new way of living, the resurrected life, and the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father until he returns to receive those who are his, and God establishes a new heaven and a new earth. This is what Paul was preaching. This is what Paul was teaching. And this is what he held them to understand. Now, if you'll bring up that passage on the screen that's with us, this is what the reading of today is that comes to us from Galatians 1, verses 11 through 17. You'll find it on the screen. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, For I neither received from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of the fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to receive his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and I returned again to Damascus. This is the reading of God's word, for which we are very, very grateful. What Paul is saying in this to those who would hear it is that the gospel that he preached is a gospel that came as a revelation of God to him. He wasn't dependent upon anybody else. He wasn't dependent upon any schools. Now, having been a Pharisee and trained as a young child in the traditions of his faith, he knew what it was like to sit as a student under the tutelage of the rabbis. He knew what it was like to receive their systematic instruction. He understood that. But what he was telling his audience in Galatia is, what I gave to you, I gave you because Jesus Christ gave it to me. He made known himself to me. He made known what it meant for him to die on the cross. He made known what it meant for him to rise 3 days later. He made known what it meant for him to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He made known what it meant for him to promise to return and receive to himself those who were his. This is the gospel that Paul preached, and this is the gospel that Gospel Christian churches preach today without any amendations, without anything added to it that would deny the centrality of our focus on Jesus Christ. And we live in a country that has a wonderful, rich religious tradition. We are grateful for the opportunity to gather in a facility such as this and to have the opportunity to lift our voices in praise, to be with these young people as they build the memory of serving God. They'll always remember coming to the Windsor and singing together with their grandfather and singing together the songs of faith. They'll carry that with them through the rest of their life. How wonderful it is that we live in a country where that kind of religious faith can be practiced. But we also live in a country where there's some really weird things. You know, I've traveled around enough and I've been confronted enough. I sat in front of Thomas Jefferson one afternoon at a coffee house up in Virginia Beach many, many years ago. He was a student of Edgar Cayce, so he thought he was reincarnated as Thomas Jefferson. And I listened to him. I was polite. And I said, you know, I do not find what you're talking about to be a part of what God's plan for us is. For it is appointed once for a person to be born, and then that person to live their life, and then that person to finish their life. That is it. Reincarnation is not a part of Christian thinking, Christian teaching. Joseph Smith up in New York State got his golden tablets from the angel Moroni. And how convenient it was that only he could read them with his special golden glasses. Nobody else could read the tablets. So you had to depend on what he said as being the basis of your religious faith. Now, in today's world, the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ have a temple up in Utah. They may do so, have an incredible choir. An amazing treatment of Handel's Messiah. But we don't persecute them. We don't kick them. We just simply say, well, wait a minute. What does the gospel say about who Jesus Christ is? He is the eternal Son of God. He is the second person of the Godhead, eternally present with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe this as Christian people. That is not the case for the evolution of the doctrines that found in the Book of Mormon. They just don't teach that. We're Trinitarian. They teach three gods. Three. But they're not co-eternal. They were made into gods. Okay, Joseph Smith does that. It happens. Now what I'm not picking on any, you know, I could, there are a lot of places I could go when I wanted, but what I'm talking about is what Paul was saying in Galatia is, listen, that isn't the gospel. That isn't the gospel that changed your life. That isn't the gospel that brought peace to you, forgiveness to you, and the promise of the Holy Spirit's power in your life. That isn't so. The Gentiles have been found to be fully the children of God, without any need to add to that faith. The Judaizers said, we don't think so. Besides that, we don't think you are an apostle. We don't think you have the right to teach what you taught. And what Paul said to them is, wait a minute, let me tell you something about what God did in my life. I was on my road to Damascus. I was ready to persecute the Christians again. And what did God do? He pushed me on the ground and asked me the question, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? The King James says, kick against the pricks, but I think that's really, who knows what they are. But he said, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? And Paul's answer was, oh Lord. He knew that God had revealed himself to him on that day, and thus began the journey that God had called him to. He abandoned everything that had been his life up to that point. He was no longer a Pharisee persecuting the church, but he was a child of God who was growing in his understanding of what it meant for Jesus Christ to come onto this earth. And so that's why he says in the reading we had today that he went down to Arabia. In the book that he wrote, or the letter that he wrote to the church in Galatia, it'll tell you that he spent 3 years contemplating, thinking, organizing, and traveling with God in his heart and in his mind so he could preach the powerful message of the gospel to the Gentile world. Now he told them where he had come from so that they could see this is the power of God to change a life. He had all the prestige and all the accomplishments that could be possibly given to a person within the Jewish tradition. But when God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, he says it means nothing because all that God has done for me brings me peace within my heart and gives me a purpose in my life. What did Paul say? I was called to be that preacher of the gospel to the Gentile world. That was his calling. You don't have that kind of a change in your life if there's no power that has come upon you in your life. That is the power of the gospel that Paul was saying to the Judaizers. You cannot mess with this. You cannot change the gospel of God in Jesus Christ. Because it is precious, this gospel that I share. It is the word of life. And also the people who have received it in their hearts, they are valuable. They are worthy. They are precious. Don't mess with my people. Don't trouble their mind. Do not mess with them. That's what he was saying. You'll hear more in the Ken's preaching of this book of Galatia, which is a book that stresses the fidelity that we are called to rely upon what God has done and Jesus Christ alone. We can add nothing to it. We can take nothing from it. It is our reliance upon what God has done in Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't really have to just rely only on what we're reading in the scriptures. How many of you remember Charles Colson? We knew him as Chuck Colson, okay? He was the person who was in the White House during the Nixon administration and that cover-up for Watergate. He lied. He did anything he had to do in order to make Rick Nixon have a good day. And he got caught. He was prosecuted and found guilty and went to prison. Through those months of reflection, there was a man who took very special attention to Colson. He had known him in other circles. And so he reached out to him with that same gospel that Paul brought to the folk in Galatia. And Chuck Colson became a new man. In our generation, a person who would do anything in the halls of the White House to support an illegal acting president was changed into a child of God whose whole life was given over to making a difference in this world for God's sake. Making a difference in this world to the little ones in this world, to those who have parents who are in prison. You know the angel tree? That came from Chuck Colson's heart. His ministry in prison to develop the prison fellowship. From the highest halls of honor in our nation to the very lowest level, God found this man and changed his life, and he served Christ for his remaining years as a faithful servant of God. That's the power of the gospel that Paul said, I will not allow you Judaizers to diminish or to attack. It cannot be. So the book of Galatians that Ken's going to be preaching on, it's going to be an exploration in faithfulness and fidelity. That's what Paul's ministry and focus was in those days. But Paul said this about his life, which really speaks to us. We are all called to be persons who are faithful to the gospel. When we pray in the name of Jesus because he is the mediator before the Father, and we hear his words. And God hears our words because we don't come in our own accomplishments, but we come in the work of Jesus Christ. God sees us, God hears us as his children because of what Jesus did. We are those kinds of people. We are the persons who have come to faith. We are the persons who have grown in faith. And we are the persons who go in faith. We come, we grow, and we go. Our lives are given over into the service of God in his gospel. That's what we do. Now, you might ask, now how do I do that? I live at the Windsor. I can't teach Sunday school class to little guys. Many of you did. When it was your opportunity, you found a way to be a part of your church's life with the little guys. Maybe you cooked meals for shut-ins. But here at the Windsor, what do? You come to church on Sunday morning in a setting for which there are no objections to that. But it's your witness to the world that we are a worshiping, witnessing people. Why do I go to church on Sunday morning at the Windsor? Because God is worthy of praise. Because God has touched my heart and he's made a difference in my life. And just because I'm whatever age I am, and I only have two ties that I haven't worn for you guys, that doesn't mean I'm not going to find a way to be faithful to Christ. When I go to table, I sit down to the table, I greet my table mates, and we look at each other, and I offer this praise. Aren't we grateful for the food that God has provided for us? Not heavy religious. I don't ask everybody at the table to bow your head and close your eyes, but I do make the remembrance. Are not we grateful for the food that God has provided for us? We are thankful. That's a witness. That's a witness. When you come here on Sunday morning, coming down the halls, that's a witness. That's your faithfulness in this location. When you gather, in a few months, we'll gather together and we'll make boxes of toys and good things for little guys to get. It'll come from your donations throughout the year. And these children from around the world will have these boxes that'll point them to God's love for them in Jesus Christ. This is the witness and the work that God has given us. He calls us to be his own. We grow in our faith, and then we go with that faith. That's what Paul did. That's what he did. 3 years in Damascus, growing in faith. But what did he spend the rest of his life doing? Going for God. Called, grow, and go. And that's what we're going to be learning as we study the book of Galatians in the weeks ahead. What a wonderful privilege it is to be the people of God who have the opportunity to lift our voices in praise and to make a statement for his love for us in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving.
You've been listening to Faith Dialogue with Pastor Ken Baer, recorded live at Celebrate Seniors, a ministry of Faith Dialogue. You can listen to or watch all of the recordings at Faith Dialogue by going to www.faithdialogue.org.